an icon. You know, Orthodox churches have icons, holy pictures, windows to heaven. And there's one that is called the resurrection icon. There may be 1,000 varieties of it, but it's always the same. Tell us about it.
Well, you know, a picture is worth 10,000 words. I wish I could email everybody a picture. But Christ is robed in dazzling white, almost like you picture in the book of Revelation. Behind him is a spray of light or a blast of light. And it's done in whites and blues, very dramatically, almost disturbingly. It's so strong. And then in one hand, he's got Adam. In one hand, he's got Eve, hauling them up out of the grave. And then down in the grave, there are these little symbols of death, the bolt, the bar, the lock that's been broken. And it's incredibly descriptive of the release that man has from death by Christ. And it's worth, to the listener, it's worth going by the Orthodox church in your neighborhood and asking the priest to show it to you.
It is such a picture of victory, mm-hmm. total victory. And the enemy has just been utterly defeated. In most of those icons, those holy pictures, by the way, King David is there.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And some of the prophets are there, mm-hmm. Because Jesus has pulled them out of the grave too. It is just so powerful. And you know, as I've thought about this, and you may want to comment on this too, you know, when I was a younger Christian, I really did have a lot of disdain in my life for the founders of other religions. I actually was sort of disdainful of Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius. And you know, I'm not into those religions. Don't misunderstand me. But as I went through seminary and afterwards, there were many fine things Confucius did say some good things. Muhammad did say some good things. Buddha did say some good things, but there's a huge difference between them and Jesus because they're dead. Mm-hmm. And the founder of every great religion is dead, 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 dead. Jesus alone is risen from the dead. They didn't even claim to be raised from the dead. I don't know if you have any comment on that. But.
Well, or to just say none of them ever claimed to be anything other than prophets or enlightened ones. Jesus said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father. I and my Father are one." In other words, he without hesitation claimed to be the Son of God in the flesh. And that in and of itself sets him apart. And then you go from there to the idea of the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection, that you can't go to a tomb of Christ. It's empty. And that, you know, again, is just makes him light years in distinction from all of the others that claim to be religious leaders.
You know, there's a bit of humor in something you said, I think. You said, you know, his tomb is empty. You know, it's kind of funny. There is, do you know, in Israel, there are two claims
right.
to which sure. is the tomb of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I don't know which one's right. I don't know which one's wrong. One of them's right and one of them's wrong. But they both have one thing in common.
They're empty.
They're empty.
Yeah.
They're empty. Father Peter, on this subject of the resurrection, if you could stand up today on national television and speak to North America about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what would your challenge be to all of North America today in regard to the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? Because I know to you, it's not just another important day. It's more than that. Mm-hmm. What would you want? What would you say if you could speak to all of North America today?
Well, it's easier to talk to older people about it than younger people. Younger people think that everybody's going to die except them. And I went through this. I saw my, you know, my grandparents' age and then my aunts and uncles' age. And I thought, gee, that's just so far away. It may never happen. I may just be this guy that never has to face aging and death. So, you know, and this is anecdotal, but I find in preaching, it's the older people that respond better. And the young people just still can't believe they're ever going to die. But I would say for all, the fact that with the resurrection of Christ, he brings us new life. In other words, just as he was dead, buried, and raised again, so that in holy baptism we can experience his death and his burial and his resurrection. We can die with him. We can leave our sins in the grave with him, buried, and then by his grace, joined to him in holy baptism, we can rise with him. We can experience new life, freedom from sin, freedom from that sting of death, and that good kind of confidence that comes from being born again, from being given new life and having life to look forward to. And then there's one other thing I think I would say, and that is that we really aren't ready to live until we're ready to die, and that knowing Christ has gained victory over death through his resurrection, we do not have to live in the fear of death. But rather, or somebody said, a Christian's the only one in all the world that can yell baloney at death. It isn't final because of the resurrection. And therefore, that we can live our lives with an abandonment to Christ, because we know that because he lives, we will live also.
You're listening to Father John Braun in the Orthodox Christian Hour. Father John is pastor of St. Anthony Orthodox Christian Church, three blocks north of UTC on Genesee.
Father Peter, I would like to go to a really relatively delicate matter, somewhat emotional matter, I think, for my listeners here on the Orthodox Christian Hour, and you are listening to the Orthodox Christian Hour. St. Anthony Orthodox Church presents this hour every single Sunday, 12 to 1. I'm Father John Braun, and today I'm interviewing Father Peter Gilquist, the director of the Department of Missions and Evangelism for the Antiochian Orthodox Christian Archdiocese of North America. Father Peter and I have been friends. He's pushing 65, and I'm going to push 71. We've been friends since we were in our he was in his late teens, perhaps, maybe 19 or 20, and I was probably 25. Several years ago, just a few years ago, and I'd like you to tell the listeners a little bit about this, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. And what I would like you to do, if you can, express what the resurrection means to you in terms of one who has faced the reality of terminal cancer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad you asked it, and I'm very, very easy talking about it, which I'm grateful for, because it is a mercy of God. For those who know me well, I'm a worrywart. If I've left something undone, it really does bother me. And I try to be prepared in life, and when a verdict like this comes down, it really broadsides you. And in my case, I've got melanoma, which is, they say, probably the most aggressive of the forms of cancer. I had a mole removed from my shoulder. They diagnosed it as benign, and then a year later discovered they were wrong. So I lost a year. And when they finally went back in, they removed the lymph nodes, you know, in my arm and all this kind of thing. They gave me a 50-50 chance of living 5 years, and that was 4 years ago. So I'm technically still out on the track doing laps. And, you know, the mercy of it all was I honestly don't think about it. And I know this is God's grace, because this isn't me. I probably worry more about other people's maladies than I do my own. And I'm not saying this to extol myself as some kind of, you know, paragon of faith or anything like that. It's just, it's a mercy. I don't know any other way to say it. The resurrection doesn't make you cocky. If anything, it humbles you. But it does bring a confidence that those outside of Christ, I don't think, can really know. So I've gone through this thing lighthearted. I'm relying way more on the prayers of my friends than my own prayers. To be honest, I don't pray a lot for myself with the cancer. I simply rely on the prayers of those saints that have gone on before us to their rest, and the saints that remain here. And I find incredible strength. I think a lot about the day I die, because one day, whether it's cancer or something else, you know, we all are going to terminate. And because of the fact that Christ has conquered death and hell, I rest in that. And it's not an ability of mine. It's simply the mercy of God that has allowed me to do that.
You know, I think about this often. You were diagnosed with terminal cancer. I was diagnosed with cancer, but not terminal, and that seems to be fine. And often people say, well, you know, new preachers, you don't know the trouble I have. And I think sometimes of that other spiritual, another one of the spirituals, nobody knows the trouble I see. Nobody knows but Jesus. Well, there's truth in that. But we have so many people, probably at least 50% of the people listening to this broadcast today have serious problems in their lives. Health problems, marriage problems, financial problems, business problems, work problems, children problems. And we all feel, well, my crisis is worse than every other crisis. Easter Day is a great day of hope, especially for the people with the worst problems. Mm-hmm. You remember you and I had a common friend, a very famous Orthodox theologian, Father Alexander Schmemann, whose teaching about death is probably the most powerful that I've ever heard. He died of cancer. And even as he was just about to die, you know, people would ask him, well, Father, how do you feel about dying? He said, after all the teaching I've done in my life, how could I be afraid of it? I have already died. Mm-hmm. I died with Christ. Right. I've already died. I've already experienced death. And I have experienced resurrection. How can I fear what I'm going through? It is not something to fear. It's something to actually glory in, that I'm going to be transported to another life. That's what I've taught all these years. The Christian doesn't fear death because the Christian who has been baptized with Christ has already died. Mm-hmm. And it's a marvelous, marvelous thing.
Somebody said, I know you've heard this, that a Christian is the only one that has the privilege of attending his own funeral. And of course, that funeral is baptism.
Yeah. You know, I heard a story of a number of Eastern prelates or clergy that were meeting during the really tense communist years. And some of them had been allowed out of their communist-dominated countries. And I don't remember what country this conference was held in. And the conversation at the table got to how serious the persecution was from the communists in those days. And a bishop was sitting there at the table listening to this conversation, and he'd been quiet. And then he spoke up. He said, well, there's one thing that they cannot take away from us. They cannot take our death away from us. Mm. We can die physically, and we can face that because we have already died with Christ. And that is something they cannot rob us of. They can They can stop us from having meetings. They can stop us from preaching, but they cannot take our death from us. And that's a remarkable story. It's a grand day, is Easter Day. And I hope that you who are listening today, and many of you are probably just leaving church, and it's been a special day, I would really encourage you to not let Easter be just a one-day celebration. We're going to celebrate Easter from now until... Actually, we're going to celebrate Easter till Ascension, and it's going to be a grand time, and we're going to be singing. It's kind of strange. We sing, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and on those in the tombs bestowing life. Easter Day is not just a day we celebrate a victory. I have this image in my mind. You know, we tend to put, at least I'm one of these people that's visual, and I tend to visualize what I see and hear. And I don't see Jesus just stepping on death. I see him trampling it down. I mean, death is just utterly, utterly wiped out. He stomps on it and stomps on it and stomps on it. He tramples it down. To me, the word trample has to do with a stampede. Mm-hmm. People, either the stampede of cattle or like the club in the East where they just had the horrible fire and the stampede of people trying to get out. Well, it's a dangerous thing, and Jesus trampling down death was more than death for the devil. It terminated his power ultimately over us. Father Peter, if you were going to be able to speak to America on what she needs to do at this time of crisis, because I believe we are in a time of crisis. We're facing the possibility of a war. We face so many crises in our nation. Our economy is slumbering, it seems. There are so many problems. There is the devastation that is taking place in our nation. In so many areas, morality seems to have just crumbled. If you could speak with a prophetic voice, what would you want to say to America?
I think what I'd do, at least at this very moment that you ask me, what comes to mind is that last petition in what we call the Great Litany in the Orthodox Church. And I had never prayed a prayer like this until I became Orthodox, because, you know, in the evangelical movement, it's been called the born-again movement, and we believe in the new birth, as I said 20 minutes ago. But the new birth is the start. The start. It's like the starting blocks in a race. There's also the finish line. And the prayer that I have in mind is when we say, for a Christian ending to our lives, painless, blameless, and peaceful, and for a good defense before the dread judgment seat of Christ. Because of the resurrection, we can look forward to a life in the kingdom of God after death. And so I think I'd talk about not just starting well. You know, St. Paul said to the Galatians, you were running well. Who has bewitched you? Who's tricked you? And I think so many of us as Christians start with, you know, a sense of effervescence and enthusiasm. And I remember my early days as a Christian on an active basis in college. You know, I worked nights. I'd come home. I got home usually 1 or 2 in the morning. Often in the summer when there was no school, I'd open the Bible and I'd read it till sun up without meaning to. I was just so enthralled with the gospel and with Christ's reality in my life and his love for me and so on. So many of us started well. The trick is to finish well. And again, that's just as we start by his grace, we finish by his grace. But I think what I would talk about is, you know, no matter what happens out there, if there's germ warfare, biological warfare, you know, all of us are going to die. So our prayer is for a Christian ending to our life. Lord, don't let me flake out as we near the end. Let me get tougher. Let me get more bold to love you and to let your light shine. And I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Thank you, Father Peter. That's Father Peter Gilquist, Director of the Department of Missions and Evangelism for the Antiochian Orthodox Christian Archdiocese of North America. Father Peter, thank you for sharing Western Easter Day with us. And as I mentioned to you before, most of our listeners are celebrating their Easter today. You know, if you attend an Easter service in an Orthodox church, and you're surely welcome to be at St. Anthony or any other Orthodox church next Sunday, you're going to see something interesting. Yes, you will see the priest vested in rather ornate vestments. And you might ask, well, why is that? Who does he think he is? Someone really important? And the answer is, yes, because he stands there as an icon of Christ, a window to heaven, but he's dressed like a king. In the old Roman Empire, that's why those vestments are that way. And he's an icon of Christ, but not with sandals and a robe walking around in Galilee or Judea, but as the high king of heaven, because of the resurrection, Jesus has been raised from the dead, and he has ascended into heaven, seated as king at the right hand of the Father. The resurrection proclaims Jesus as the triumphal king who goes back having conquered every enemy for all eternity. Thank you for sharing your Easter experience with us, Father Peter, and with our listeners.
You've been listening to the Orthodox Christian Hour, brought to you by St. Anthony Orthodox Christian Church, 4321 Eastgate Mall, La Jolla, just 3 blocks north of University Town Center on Genesee. Father John can be heard each Sunday, noon to 1 p.m. on KPRZ, and you're cordially invited to hear Father John in person, Sundays, 9:30 a.m. at St. Anthony Church, 4321 Eastgate Mall in La Jolla. We'd love to hear from you about your questions and concerns. Just call St. Anthony at 858-458-0992. That number again is 858-458-0992. As always, thanks to all of you for being with us today on the Orthodox Christian Hour. And now, Father, give us your blessing.
May the blessing of the Lord and his mercy come upon you through his grace and love for mankind, always, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.